You're listening to The Football Hour with Dom Betts and Alex Mearns.
You're listening to The Football Hour, and it's just me, Dom Betts, on today because Alex Mearns is feeling ill. He's got a sore throat, so we can't exactly speak or do a podcast. But today, we're going to be reviewing the League Cup or the EFL Cup matches from this week. It was the quarterfinals, so obviously there have been four games. We're going to start off with Tuesday's games, which actually involved Alex's team, Leeds United. Unfortunately, they did lose at Anfield 2-0 to Liverpool, but they did themselves justice for me. They played brilliantly in this game, and I think 2-0 sort of made Liverpool look like they dominated the game, but they really didn't. I mean, the goals did come like 5 minutes between each other in the last 15 minutes of the game. She had the goals from Divock Origi in the 76th minute, and then obviously Woodburn in the 81st, who is now Liverpool's youngest ever goal scorer at 17 years old and 45 days, breaking Michael Owen's record. But I don't like all the hype again that the media are giving this guy, because yes, he scored a goal, but that's all he's done. It was a really simple tapping, to be perfectly honest with you. So just let the guy progress as a footballer. Don't put pressure on him to be the next Michael Owen, to be the next Wayne Rooney. Why can't he just be the Woodburn? Why can't he just be himself? Why does he have to be the next player? Why can't he just be his own player? No one ever said Owen was going to be the next Alan Shearer. No one said Rooney was going to be the next, I don't know, Matt Letizier. Because I really hate this phrase and it needs to stop. But going back to the game, yeah, Woodburn, the youngest ever goal scorer. We look at the first goal. It came in from a cross from another youngster. It gets whipped in and Origi sort of just taps it in the near post. It is quite poor defending from Leeds for me, and they're going to be very, very annoyed at that. I think the youngster's name was Alexander Arnold, who whipped the ball in. And the second goal, it was just very simple. The ball came into the box. Someone slipped it into Mane. Mane left it off for Woodburn and he buried it in the back of the net. I thought he was going to miss it, to be perfectly honest, because he hit it so hard, but it did go in, and what a moment for a young man right in front of the cop to be Liverpool's youngest ever goal scorer. He's from Liverpool. You saw what it meant to the lad. Unbelievable. That's what football's all about. Just that raw emotion. If he does become an awful footballer and doesn't progress any more than this, he'll remember that moment for the rest of his life. But moving on to Leeds, I thought Leeds played very well. They did themselves justice for how they've been playing in the league this year. I mean, they're in the playoffs. They're near the automatics. So, yeah, they played really well. They just weren't clinical enough. I mean, they definitely had a lot of chances. They had Roof, the guy they signed from Oxford this summer, had a wonderful curling effort in the second half. It just hit the inside of the post and unfortunately didn't go in. But what a goal that would have been if that hit the back of the net. I'm sure Mearns is going to do a Leeds podcast when he's better, talking about this game specifically as well. Roof, what an effort that was, but unfortunately it just didn't go in. Then they had Carl Bartley in the second half from a corner. He had a free header, it was even on Mearns' Snapchat, and it just went slightly wide. Then in the first half, after about 4 minutes, Hadi Sacko went through on goal, and he just couldn't bury it. I mean, if you're getting chances at Anfield, you need to be burying them, because you don't get many. And to be fair, Leeds did get quite a few, as I've just said. I mean, there are positives to both sides to take from this game. I think Leeds showed, as I said, why they're excelling in the league this year. And giving manager time, like Gary Monk, a young, exciting manager, they can do well. They have got a good young side. But maybe the young, inexperienced in them sort of came out, and that's why they lost 2-0. But Leeds can't be disheartened by the performance. It was a very, very strong performance from a Championship side. Moving on to Liverpool, positives they could take. I think Liverpool showed a lot of squad depth in this. Origi stepping up again, that's 2 goals in 2 games now. And he's going to need to step up in Coutinho's absence. Maybe Firmino's going to have to drop back into Coutinho's position or something. And then put Origi up through the middle, because Origi's not a winger. He's clearly a striker. And he's clearly a goal scorer, because he is getting goals under Jurgen Klopp. He proved this at the business end of last season, even though it wasn't really a business end for Liverpool. But yeah, he does prove he is a goal scorer. So maybe put him up top as the pressing striker, false nine. And then have Firmino actually either in the middle or out wide. The next game was probably the worst game out of the four in Hull versus Newcastle. It finished 1-1 after extra time, then Hull won 3-1 on penalty. Said a very, very dull game with very few talking points. I think the only really talking points are literally the goals, the penalties and the red card. We start off with a red card because that was the first thing that happened. It happened right at the end of normal time, 89th, 90th minute. Jamal Lascelles goes in a challenge on Mbakani, and Mbakani just clearly didn't like it, and he just lunged in with his head, didn't headbutt him, but pushed his head into Lascelles' head, and obviously in today's game, that's a clear red card, and he gets sent off, so Hull have to perform the whole of extra time and penalties down to 10 men. Newcastle took the lead, actually, with a corner that came in, then Dwight Gayle flicks it on, and then Modiame pokes in against his former club, but clearly Newcastle switched off after that, because pretty much straight from kickoff, Robert Snodgrass scored after a rebound after a Henriksen had a shot. So yeah, 98th minute Modiame scores, in 99th minute Hull get the equaliser. Then nothing else happens, so he goes straight to penalties, and this was a shocking penalty shootout from Newcastle's perspective. I mean, come on, missing 3 penalties and losing 3-1 is unacceptable. John DeShelby first steps up, he misses, well saved from Jakubovic, I think that's how you say his name, then Robert Snodgrass buries his. Dwight Gayle steps up, he misses his, then Dawson steps up, buries his penalty into the bottom corner. What a penalty this was. They actually finally did score, one with Christian Atsu. And then on the third penalty from Hull was Tom Huddleston. He buried his. Then on the fourth penalty from Newcastle was Johan Gufran. Bottled his penalty, didn't he? So Hull went going through to the semi-finals 3-1 on penalties. I mean, I don't think this is going to affect either team's season too much. I mean, Newcastle is still obviously going to get automatic promotion, probably win the title. I know they lost to Blackburn on the weekend. I feel like that was just a fluke, to be perfectly honest. Blackburn are quite at the end of the table, so it's one of those games in the Championship just always seems to happen every year. It won't affect their season. They'll just go from strength to strength here and just still walk the Championship. Hull, I guess it could bring them a bit of confidence. I doubt it will, but you never know what it could do for them being in the semi-finals of the Cup. Because sometimes when a team wins or does well in this Cup, it actually does bad to their season. Like when Birmingham won it against Arsenal a few years ago, when Wigan won the FA Cup. You know, you don't know what this can do to a side, but hopefully this can spur Hull on and they can start getting some points and make this relegation battle actually interesting. If we move on to Wednesday's games now, we start off with probably the best game out of the four in Manchester United's demolition of West Ham by 4-1. It was United's best performance in a long, long while. If we look at the goals, Ibra puts them 1-0 up after, what, 1 or 2 minutes. Brilliant play from Mkhitaryan and Rooney to set up Ibra after 2 minutes. Lovely little back heel from Mkhitaryan into Ibra, and he just buries it into the back of the net. Dinks it over Adrian, who actually had his studs up against Ibra's shin. So on another day, if the referee saw that, he could have given a red card. If you do that in the middle of the pitch and the referee sees it, it's a red card. Really, you could argue they could have been down to 10 men after a couple of minutes. Then West Ham, against a run of play, equalised. There's a weak shot from outside the box from Dimitri Payet, which is very poorly dealt with by David De Gea, which had Ashley Fletcher just poked in against his former club in front of the Stretford end. What a feeling it must have been for that young man. I guess this round is young people scoring goals against big home ends, because obviously Woodburn against the Kop and Fletcher against the Stretford end. Obviously Fletcher was against his old club and Woodburn was for his current club. Then it became 2-1 in the beginning of the second half. Valencia plays in Mkhitaryan down the line, who plays it back to Martial, who buries it top bins. And what a wonderful finish this is from Martial. It's good to see him score, because I really like Martial. I think he's got a lot of potential. He's obviously dubbed the new Thierry Henry when he originally arrived. And I think he seems to be more of a winger for me in this side than a striker anyway. So he's going to have to be the old Thierry Henry when he was at Monaco. Martial then scored again. Ibra plays a great pass into Valencia, who then squares it across the box for an easy finish for Tony Martial. And he just buries it into the back of the net. And on the highlights, obviously, you can hear the United chant for Tony Martial. The 50 million down the drain, Tony Martial scores a game. And Ibra made it 4-1 in the last minute. A quick throw from Rooney, plays in Bastian Schweinsteiger, who's finally got back in the squad. And he played it into Herrera, who skipped past two players and sort of rolled it really slowly across the box. And Ibra just buried it into the back of the net to make it 4-1. But what annoyed me with this performance is the front six, so you're two holding mids, you're three behind the one, and the one, obviously. It is United's best front six, so why haven't they been playing these players all season? So their best front six for me, or their best midfield and attack, would be the two holding being Carrick being the anchor man, or quarterback role, as a lot of commentators like to call it, then more of a deep line playmaker in Ander Herrera. And the three behind are Rooney in the middle at number 10. I said this is his best position. And out wide have Mkhitaryan and Tony Martial. Mkhitaryan on the right, Martial on the left, and then Ibra through the middle. It clearly worked. It's the best performance in ages. I know it was against a West Ham side who are like 1 point above the relegation zone, but that's not the point. It is their best performance of ages, so United and Mourinho need to be playing this side more consistently. I think Rooney's like banned for this Saturday game or this weekend's game against Everton. I think it might be on Super Sunday. So obviously I think Mata will drop into the number 10 role, but apart from that, I wouldn't change the front six. Maybe defence should change when all the players are back fit, but that front six is their best front six and there should be no need to change it. The last game was Arsenal against Southampton, and Southampton pulled off a 2-0 win here. Great result for the Saints. Started off the 1-0. It was a brilliant strike from Jordi Clasie. Our Bufell's attempt was blocked up from the Bertrand cross, because Bertrand whipped the cross in. Bufell had an attempt, blocked by an Arsenal player, and Jordi Clasie just buries it into the back of the net. What a strike from Jordi Clasie, who I think is quite underrated as a player in the Premier League. When Schneiderlin was there, you heard a lot about him, but I think Jordi Clasie's been as good as Schneiderlin was. He does actually have a big effect on the game. It was made 2-0 and Jenkson lost the ball. He lost the ball to Bertrand. He laid it off to Davis. Davis played in Sofiane Boufal, who cut it back to Bertrand, and he just slotted it into the bottom corner, making it 2-0 at halftime for the Saints. And that's what really happened. Arsenal had a couple of attempts, but no clear-cut one. There's one that Ramsey's in the box, and he sort of fluffed it and Forster saved it. There was the free kick, obviously, from Granit Xhaka, but Forster had that again. So not really many chances. I mean, the other best chance in the second half probably came from Southampton when Sofiane Boufal would have been annoyed not to bury it when he's on his left foot and he smacked it across the goal and it just missed the bottom corner. But it's great for Southampton to reach the semi-finals. I'll be rooting for them. I know everyone wants a Pacific final, which I'll get onto later, but it's great to see this sort of mid-table to top six team who isn't going to reach the heights of European finals and Premier League titles get to a domestic cup final. It means a lot to them because Fulham, we never got to do that when we were in our 13 years in the Premier League. A day out at Wembley is amazing, and they're two games away from being at Wembley, which will be a lovely thing for Southampton after all the troubles they went to maybe 10 or so years ago. But Arsenal were very, very poor in this game. I mean, and they weren't even playing like all youngsters. There were first team players playing. You had Alex Iwobi, Aaron Ramsey, you could say Cole Jenkinson, you had Elneny, you had Coquelin. Like, why are you playing Elneny and Coquelin at home? That makes no sense. All they do is pass it sideways. It just makes no sense to me at all. And I think this was a game for Ramsey to shine in. He was playing at number 10. And what did he do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Their best player in this game was Oxlade-Chamberlain. And he didn't come on until like mid in the second half. He should have come on at half time because he changed the game when he came on. He was their best player and he only played like half an hour, 20 minutes. And maybe this is showing Wenger's naivety again, because out of their last six quarterfinals in the League Cup, they've only won one. And when they won that one, they got to the final. I know they lost, but they got to the final. And everyone says it's the Mickey Mouse Cup, but it's a cup. I know it's not the FA Cup. I know it's not the Premier League. I know it's not the Champions League. I know it's not the Europa League. But it is a cup. If you said to a team like Southampton, to a team like Everton, to a team like Watford, like Bournemouth, they take this tournament to be in a final in a heartbeat or a semi-finals in a heartbeat. I don't like the way the big teams treat this tournament. I really don't like it. I like the way United are treating it, though, because they played their first team. They want to win this. Liverpool, I know they played youngsters, but they played like they want to win it. Arsenal never seem to play like they want to win this tournament, and I really, really don't like it. It's just so detrimental to the point of it. If they're not going to try, what's the point in having the tournament there? It's there for a reason. But if we move on, lastly, to the semi-final draw, we've got United versus Hull City, and then Southampton against Liverpool, which are going to be played in January. I mean, everyone obviously wants a United-Liverpool final, and I do, but I really want Southampton to win it. I really do. If I'm going to predict who I think's going to win it, I'm going to say United, because they seem to be playing their strongest team in this tournament. Mourinho's been doing that in the Europa League as well, so he clearly wants to win a cup. So I think United might just have too much for Liverpool, Southampton and Hull in this tournament. So I've been Dom Betts. This has been The Footballer. Remember, if you're listening on iTunes, hit that subscribe button. If you enjoyed what you heard from me, make sure to leave a rating and a review on iTunes. It helps us go up those iTunes sports and hobbies charts. And thanks for listening.